Hi, everybody. If you know anything about Mountain West athletics, you will notice that there is a problem with those two universities. We are mortal enemies on the football field and the basketball court, but we do get along horticulturally, thankfully. So, also, you may notice the last name similarity. Evan is my son, who was actually quite helpful with this. And Samantha, there she is grad student at UW at the moment, so she just finished up a poster. This is a picture of, this was a really sad story. I had to go to Jackson, Wyoming once a month for a year. And if any of you have ever been to Jackson, you'll know that the Tetons are right there. And so we got to spend some time there. Evan is also a hemp grower at the moment in Colorado, so that's Evan. And there's Samantha in her elements. She's working on some cut flower work at the moment for her degree and also up in the Snowy Mountains in west of Laramie. Acknowledgements are many. The staff at Vertical Harvest, this has to do with the greenhouse in Jackson, Wyoming called Vertical Harvest, which some of you may have heard of. I won't get into the specifics of the business model or anything, we just don't have time, but they have been very welcoming and very interested in working with UW, over the years. And there are also some investors who have made this project possible. This is the building. It is downtown Jackson, Wyoming. And because of building codes, et cetera, you will notice that this is the east side facing you. The glass structure does face south. They began growing a few years ago. It is a completely hydroponic facility. The footprint is only about a tenth of an acre, but it's got about almost 14,000 square feet inside it. The first floor is the store. There's also some microgreen production down there and packing facilities. The second floor consists of seven moving carousels, which I'll show you one of those in a minute. And then the top floor is tomatoes. The sideways pattern that you see there, kind of a sideways T, pay attention to that because that's crucial in the whole operation here. It's a sideways T. The carousel moves down on the south side, the front of the building there, and then it moves back up. And six of the carousels then move in horizontally and then back down. And so it moves in a T pattern constantly, 24/7. There is an additional three-story carousel, which I'll show you in a second. This is what it looks like inside. What we did was we did daily light integral measurements, and we're still doing it. We're 19 months into a 12-month study. And we also have some sensors up on the tomato section upstairs. I did make monthly trips, and Samantha went with me a couple times, and Evan did as well. And they were both real instrumental in helping with this project. The reason we did this was because the growing staff was not convinced that the plants, especially the lettuce on the second middle floor, were getting enough light. What we did was an investor helped us to purchase six setups of the data loggers, and each data logger then has two quantum sensors attached to it. And I set them all up in my greenhouse and got them all programmed and then took them up to Jackson. And this is what we did with them. We actually mounted them onto the troughs that the plants are normally in and attached the quantum sensors. We screwed them in so they're not going anywhere. And then each of the data loggers we also enclosed in a gallon zip bag because it's very wet in there, as you might guess. And so the sensors move and are recording light just as the plants do. And if we can get this to work, here we go. This is a Dutch system, the name of which escapes me at the moment. and they grow several different types of lettuce on a consistent, continuous basis. You can see the carousel going underneath at this point. And it's, I could show you days and days of these, but we'll move on. The carousels, this is number one on the west side, off towards the your right there. Two is the second one right in front there. This is a shorter one, number three, which actually produced the best data that we have. This is the three-story carousel that goes up in the back, behind, and then it comes down in front on the south side. And then this is number seven on the east side of the building. The tomatoes are your typical tomato production. We put one of the sensors on the south side of the building. In each of the two sides, there's an east and a west side for the tomatoes. One data logger and two sensors in each one, one by the north wall and one by the south. Across the street is a hotel, and which is interesting because the lights are on 24/7. And then behind that, you can sort of see Snow King Mountain, which is a ski resort. On top of the electrical box there, you can see some black wire and the second sensor there, the quantum sensor. So what we have determined over the last year since January of 2018 is that none of the light levels on that second middle level are up to snuff. We are looking at 12 to 14 moles DLI, which are Eric Runkle's recommendations for lettuce, and none of them are there. Even the tomatoes on the third floor are not receiving enough light. And part of that is because of just the way the building is constructed, and the second floor has a little bit of exposure to the south, but not a lot, and so obviously the second floor is not getting much natural light at all. The top there, that gold area, is the recommended DLI levels. And as you can see, this is for entire 2018. And I do have the daily and every 15-minute data, too, if I really wanted to dive into it. But it is fairly, and this is for the two sensors. The east sensor, each one was over on here about 3 feet from the data logger, and the other one is about 6 feet away from that one. And we did that just so we had some checks and balances on the each trough. And so the light levels are not where we need them to be. This happens to be carousel number one, which is on the west side of the building. Number three, which is the shortest one, actually showed us the highest DLIs over that year. It's mostly because it has that shortest interior run. Carousel 5 is the three-story one, and it is less than any of the other ones, actually. And part of that is because the three-story one spends literally half of its time the plants behind the others, and there is some lighting there, but not enough. And this is Carousel 7, which is on the east side of the building. So we're almost there, but they're not quite at the recommended DLI levels for lettuce. So what we did then was looked at the tomatoes as well, and the tomatoes are closer. They're up on the third floor, but both the east and west walls are solid. They're not constructed of greenhouse material because of building codes, and so that's why they're not getting enough DLI either. It's better up there, but it's still not where we need to be. And the 15 to 20 is the recommended DLI as per Eric Runkle. So based on those data, we sat down with the powers that be there and suggested that they add some additional lighting, and that's where Evan came in, and Sam was helpful with that as well. They are considering adding even more, but they're not quite there yet. They did add these white, these happen to be Thrive Agritech white lights. And this is what we're looking at as a comparison from March and April 18 on the top graph there and the same time period basically this year. It has improved, but it's still not quite where it needs to be. So this is Carousel 5, which is the three-story carousel. And 7 was another one where they added some light, and that happens to be on the east side. And it didn't help as much as on 5. There was more room for improvement on number 5, and so we're not the three-story one. So we're still working on trying to get the DLIs up to where they really need to be. like I said earlier, there's that middle floor obviously doesn't benefit from summer sun. And if you know anything about Jackson, the other name for it is Jackson Hole. And there's a reason for that. It is, if you've been there, you know, it's literally in a hole. It's completely surrounded by mountains. You can't see the Tetons from there. It's a very interesting geography. So there, the light is an issue. Let's see. What we suspect is that they will need to add some light in the interior of the building. The additional lights that were put in earlier this year went on the south side. So we're going to try to encourage them to put them on the interior of the building instead. That number 3 has a short interior run, so it does a little better than the others. Carousel 5 has 0 horizontal sections and is at a disadvantage. They did notice, however, that their plant sizes increased with the additions of those white lights. And they also were able to chop off about a week on their production time. Even though we didn't see a huge increase in DLI, they did see some changes in the plant material, which is good. And then the tomatoes, we didn't spend a whole lot of time with them. The production is actually quite good, and they could add some lighting up there, but we're still working on the tomatoes. We have reported all of this monthly and then in a final report, and I'm still working. I probably will go up at least once or twice more this year and finish up the study in January of 2020. And that's a wrap. I'm happy to answer any questions. This is a
any questions?
Hi, Mark.
Karen, if you're talking about them, about the electricity bill associated with the lights, and if so, how did they react to that?
Yeah, they have a very particular numbers man, Eric. And yes, he's monitoring all that. And that was one of the considerations in the new white lighting LEDs that they put in. The originals were Philips. They also have some GE and then the Thrive Agritex. But yes, they are looking at that. They're next door to a parking garage. And one of the reasons they built on this particular plot of land was they could hook into the parking garage electrical system. And I'm not totally convinced they're actually paying much for their electricity. So that was one of the reasons they picked that spot. So, good question. Anything else? Yes, Paul.
The bill is very visually appealing. From an energy modeling perspective, it'd be interesting to think about what fraction of light is coming from the sun versus what's coming from electricity. Like, could you
That's a very good question. And the question is, would it economically and energy efficiency wise, would it be economical over the long run and comparing natural sunlight versus the LEDs? And we actually have an engineer at UW who's doing exactly that. There's a number of us at UW who are working with Vertical Harvest on a number of different aspects of the business, and that's one of them. So, good question. Yes. Yeah, the lights are actually on all the time, and the hotel hasn't complained yet. But in this case, with the lettuce and the tomatoes, the photo period is not as much of an issue as it is with a lot of other crops. So there's light pollution for people, and then there's light pollution for the plants. And in downtown Jackson, the issue is more the people. We could go into a discussion of that, but we don't have time.
So. Okay, thank you, Carrie.
Thank you.